The Supreme Court only hears a few dozen cases a year, but one on the docket will answer big questions about contracting practices by the Department of Veterans Affairs. The question for the court is, does the VA have to give preference to veteran-owned small businesses in all cases? Steve Koprintz is managing partner of Koprintz Law and writing about a case that is working its way to the Supreme Court. Steve, it's rare that the Supreme Court takes on government contracting cases. What are the facts of this case, and why should we be paying attention to, first of all, just the fact that they decided to take it, and second of all, whatever they decide when they do so? Thanks for joining me today, Steve.
And thanks for having me again, Francis. Yes, you know, it is very unusual for the Supreme Court to weigh in on a government contracting matter. The Supreme Court only takes a handful of cases every year. They have complete discretion over their docket. But in this case, they decided to weigh into the dispute between service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses, particularly a company called Kingdomware Technologies, Inc., and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And this is a dispute that's been brewing really since 2011, when it started way down, you would say, at the GAO level, a GAO bid protest, and has now worked its way all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So, very briefly, I mean, the question here that's in front of the Supreme Court, as it was at the Court of Federal Claims and then the Federal Circuit, is whether the VA has to give a contracting preference or a priority to service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses and veteran-owned small businesses anytime that two or more of those types of companies are reasonably expected to submit offers on a particular procurement. And the service-disabled, veteran-owned small business at issue in this case, Kingdomware Technology, says, hey, there's a federal statute that was passed in 2006 that says exactly that. That says that you have to, you being the VA has to prioritize SDVUSBs anytime there are two or more of us that are reasonably likely to submit a bid. And the VA, you know, interestingly, despite the fact that they're the agency with the special relationship with veterans, has been arguing for years that no, we don't have to do this. That VA's first argument was that they could use the GSA schedule, or often known as Federal Supply Schedule, without regard to whether two or more SDVUSBs or VUSBs were available. And now that has morphed into an argument. And then it's really the argument that's in front of the Supreme Court, it will be in front of the Supreme Court, that the VA says anytime we're meeting our statutory goal, our contracting goal for SDVUSBs or VUSBs, which, by the way, the VA has done in recent years, and they should get kudos for that, but it said anytime that we reach our goal, we don't have to prioritize SDVUSBs anymore. That's really the argument now. Now, obviously, the SDVUSBs and VUSBs disagree. So we're really talking about a dispute based on this 2006 statute about the extent to which the VA must prioritize veterans and service-disabled veterans.
This seems to me to be very important to companies, not just that are service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses, but to somebody who's competing against those businesses at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is going to affect pretty much anyone who does business with the VA. I mean, because this really, it's a VA-specific statute, but the VA is, it's the second biggest spending agency after DOD. They do a lot of contracting. And so for SDVUSBs, of course, this would be a major victory if the Supreme Court came down their side, because the VA would have to contract with SDVUSBs or VUSBs. In many cases in which they're not currently doing so. Flip side, of course, being for those who are not SDVUSBs or VUSBs who are doing business with the VA might lose the discretion, depending on the interest level in that work among veteran-owned companies, might lose the discretion to contract with them going forward. So it really is going to be a really important case for anyone who does business with the VA.
Do you see potential for this to affect other kinds of set-asides if the case is decided one way or the other, where someone might say, well, this affected SDVUSBs in a certain way, so maybe it would impact me in a certain way, and so I'm going to try to take on some kind of action?
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, this the case specifically is based on that 2006 statute, which is unique to the VA. But the principles that are really at issue in the case, the idea of goaling, which is the agency setting goals for service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses, et cetera. That predates that statute by a long time. The SBA has been keeping track of those goals for a long time under the Small Business Act authority. And then the idea of this, two or more SDVSBs, that's what's called the rule of two. That's not a new concept either. That's in the FAR for small businesses. There's a rule of two that applies to most acquisitions when the government is required to set aside contracts for small businesses when there are two or more offers likely to be submitted by small businesses. And so it's certainly possible that depending on how the court rules in this case, let's say that the court rules in favor of the VA and says, yeah, you're actually only required to do these set-asides in a year when your goals haven't been met. I suppose, even though you're talking about different statutory authorities, someone might try and now make the same argument for all set-asides and say, hey, guess what? In 2013, the government met its 23% government-wide goal, so maybe the whole government's exempt from set-asides, for rule of two for that year. I don't know that the statutory language would support it in the same way that is argued in this case, but you could see someone making the argument. So it could end up broadening beyond this case, especially since a Supreme Court decision is going to get the kind of attention that lower court decisions just won't.
Steve Koprinz is managing partner at Koprinz Law and writing about this case on the Small GovCon blog. There's a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And it strikes me the VA might not be the only place we see this either, Steve. As you mentioned, some of these issues are codified in the FAR already, and that applies to everybody. And we certainly see goaling in every agency.
That's exactly right. And so, this case is, again, is based on the specific language of the statute, but the principles there, the goaling and the set-aside principles apply really government-wide in FAR 19 to small business set-asides. The same idea of the rule of two tells a contracting officer when they're allowed to set aside a contract for the 8A program, for the woman-owned small business program, or even for the SBA's a separate SDVSB program, because the SBA runs an SDVSB program as well, which is the one that DOD and DHS and all the non-VA procuring agencies use. And so those concepts apply throughout, even though the statutory authority may differ. And so it will be interesting to see how this comes down. But it's one of the reasons that, my position is that the SDVSBs have the better side of this argument, in that this rule of two has never been interpreted in the other context the way the VA is now asking the Supreme Court to interpret it, and it's the way the Federal Circuit interpreted it, to say that it only applies, it switches on and off. It only applies when the goals haven't been met. And that certainly has never been how these other rules of two have been applied in the government contracting context.
You write on your blog, Steve, the Supreme Court grants only a small fraction of the petitions for certiorari filed with it, so just getting in the courthouse door is a victory of sorts for Kingdom Ware. Is there anything we should infer from that, or does that indicate no way one or the other how the court might be interested in this or why they're interested in it?
Yeah, I think that at least it shows that the Kingdom Ware plaintiffs presented a case that some of the judges might be interested in ruling in their favor. And this is just reading it between the lines here, but the Supreme Court denies the vast majority of these cert petitions that are filed with it. And then when they deny or accept one, it's without comment. So you never know what their reason was. But in a case like this, we're talking about government contracting. We're not talking about a situation in which there might be another reason for the court to take on the case, such as, the Ninth Circuit has ruled one thing and the Eighth has ruled something else, and the court wants to resolve a circuit split. That's not the case here. I mean, the Federal Circuit is the only court that was empowered to hear this issue, the only court that did at the circuit level. And so my sense is that at least some of the justices saw something here where they want to know more, at least as to what Kingdom Ware is alleging. So I do take it as a positive sign that Kingdom Ware has gotten its foot in the door of the Supreme Court.